afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We bring you this special radio broadcast in order to give you the very latest information on an amazing phenomenon.
Computer Talk with Dave Mason.
It's been that way for 2 hours. The tension is just beginning. Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something is happening.
Conversations during the break are hilarious to me. If people could hear them. You know, we've talked about that for years.
Remember?
Doing, I don't know what you would call it, but almost like a reality show sort of
behind
thing.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah,
you know, they do it on other, I've seen other people do it. And they often do it, I think Glenn Beck even does it on his show to some degree where they all.
But you know what the deal is? It has to be real. I think it's hard for people to do it real.
Well, yeah, because when you know you're actually on the air,
right, it changes
what you do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and burp and stuff on the. Well, actually, I do that. But
on the air, yeah.
Yeah, I do. But you don't. You definitely don't talk really like you talk.
Right.
For the most part, because you don't want.
Although
to know
we don't
idiot.
Really do anything, you know, really bad.
It no.
Just it is just a very diverse.
And when you're off the air and you know it's a private conversation, you can be silly and goofy.
Yeah, we're definitely goofy.
And not worry about what
but,
other people
you know,
think.
It's kind of interesting, too, though.
Well,
but we kind of do that on the air, too. I mean,
that's
you know.
True. This is not much different than what we do during the break, really.
Yeah. But, you know, it just runs a gamut. I mean, it's hilarious. It runs the gamut. Whatever. Do you know what a gamut is? It's something that runs a lot.
That,
I know that.
Isn't that a board game?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, speaking of running the gamut, I've got to talk about this. It isn't really a technology thing. Well, you know what? Let me do this first before I forget. Let's follow up on Chuck's thing because this is, and I don't think Chuck was confused about this in particular, but it just brought to mind because I have experienced this a lot, and it's you know a lot of folks in small business have their own website and their own domain. And it's very confusing. It's the kind of thing that you don't deal with much. Once it's set up, you pay the bill, you know, you don't think about it much, and you kind of forget what's going on. And it's a very confusing thing. I find that people get very confused between the domain name registration, mm-hmm. the web hosting service, mm-hmm. the email service, and the website creation service. Four things. Now, they can be, and sometimes they are, all one company. They don't have to be. They're not necessarily. I mean, if you were to call me and say, Dave, I'm having a problem with my web hoster, that would mean to me the company that you pay on a monthly or quarterly or yearly basis that actually has a server that your website lives on is causing you a problem. Now, the problem is that you may be thinking about the domain name. You may be thinking about the guy that or gal that actually designed and edits and updates and services the website itself, the creation of the website. They're not the same. Now, like I said, sometimes they are. I mean, one of the things that companies try to do that are website creation companies is in an interest, and partially because of the confusion that we're talking about. I mean, it benefits them potentially too, but it also benefits their customers to simplify kind of a one-stop shop. If you have one company to deal with, it doesn't matter of those four things what you're talking about. They can handle it. They'll streamline it. They'll fix it. They'll create it. Any of those things. But technically, domain name registration is done by certain companies. Now, you can contract with GoDaddy. They don't actually do it. Another company actually does it. Website hosting, having the space on the hard drive and the connection to the Internet big enough to allow enough people to connect to your internet, your website, and that server is actually web hosting. That could be GoDaddy, too, but not necessarily. Your email hoster. most often is the same as the website hosting company, but not necessarily. Your website creation company could be you, could be your cousin, the MIS student at the university, creating your website for you, your brother-in-law.
Could be me.
Could be you. May or may not have anything to do with any of those other things. So it's important as the owner of a website, you don't have to understand the details of all those things, but when you talk about domain name, you need to know what that means and who's responsible for that that you've contracted with. When you talk about web hosting, website hosting, you need to know who that is and what they're responsible for. Does that also include, are they also doing your domain name registration? Then you need to know that. If they're not, you need to know that. The other thing that is a little bit of a peripheral issue with this that's really critical, it amazes me how many people actually have their domain name owned by the company that they contract with to create the website. So you and that website creation company, for whatever reason, good or bad, maybe it isn't a bad separation, it's a good separation. Often it isn't. You go to separate, get your domain name and website, and they own it. You can't do it. You can't log in. Now, you know, you got problems maybe. Maybe your email is not working properly because there's an issue with some of the settings in the server. This guy can't be gotten in contact with. What do? You call up GoDaddy, who this guy that you contract with you find out is using. They say, I don't know you from Adam. You're not authorized on that account. Now you've got to open a domain dispute. An ownership dispute can take weeks to resolve. Can be a really sticky issue. So, you know, some of those things. Now, Chuck wasn't dealing with a lot of the issues we're talking about, and he didn't suffer from some of the confusion that we were talking about. But it just brought to mind how often I encounter this. I get contacted many times a year, maybe once every other month, from somebody needing help just because they don't know how to begin to unravel it and have gotten themselves in a jam with ownership and management and payment and all kinds of things because of this confusion. Domain name registration, website hoster, email hoster, website creator, all those things, you need to know who they are. And you need to have usernames, passwords of all those accounts if they're separate.
And if you don't, you can feel free to call Dr. Dave anytime, and he'll help you figure it out.
Unravel it. 866-821-8255. So the story I wanted to talk about before we run out of time today, actually not directly a technological story, but it was something really...
Like that stops
I
us.
I found it compelling.
Like that stops us in the past.
Right, right. Found it very compelling. It's a study done that was published this last week in the Journal of PLOS-1, which is a large... what does PLOS-1 stand for? I don't see it. Big study. Big study. Between 1988 and 1994, researchers gave 5,134 American adults under 60 a very straightforward test of reaction time. Now, they were just looking to find out reaction times. Later on, what they did is they looked at the data and realized that people who had a slower reaction, it was two things. People that had high variability in reaction time, in other words, they might be kind of quick one time and then very slow the next, died sooner. And I'm not saying died sooner because they couldn't get out of the way of the bus because the reaction time was slower. I'm talking about things like cancer and cardiovascular events. There's some correlation. Now, the other thing was, if you had a high variability in the time, you were at greater risk, and I mean big greater risk, like 25% greater risk. If you were slow, generally, even if it wasn't really variable, much greater chance of you dying earlier. If you had a quick reaction time and it was fairly consistent, you stayed alive. Isn't that interesting? And not just relating, again, to kind of physical risks, but cardiovascular and cancer and all kinds of stuff. Very interesting. I'm going to be studying this in greater detail. Well, you can tell by that funky music in the background, we're flat out of time. Have a safe, sane, sober Superdoll. When it comes right down to it, the most important thing in life is time. The better you manage your time, the better your life is. Hi, this is Dr. Dave. I want to talk to you about some incredible software that helps you better manage your time and get more out of life. I'm talking about Intellect from Chaos Software. I've researched time management software for over 20 years. I've never found a better, simpler, more practical tool for managing my time and my life than Intellect. In fact, it's what I use every day. It even helped me find the time to write this script. Intellect includes an easy-to-use email client with state-of-the-art spam filters, an integrated contact manager, an appointment manager, and to-do list, all wrapped up in the most efficient productivity package I've ever used. Best of all, Intellect is network-ready right out of the box. Download Intellect's free trial at chaossoftware.com. Whether you're a salesperson, retired grandmother, real estate mogul, or radio talk show host, you need Intellect from Chaos Software. Check it out at chaossoftware.com for a better life.